May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You can turn your chairs around if you like. Can you hear me? Has it cut off? Okay, let me come back down there. Hang on just a second. You can turn your chairs around if you like. So, the gospel takes a strange form. The gospel takes a strange, offensive, and contrary form in your life, every time, all the time. A wise and experienced pastor told me this week, everyone believes the gospel until it gets too close. And here's what that means. You know, we read in the Bible of the forgiveness of sins. We have heard it so many times in Sunday school and in church. And of course, as Christians, we believe it. It's in our creeds and it's in our confessions. But sometimes it can be just a concept, something removed from our actual lives, until it's not. Until it gets very, very real. It was this point that Jesus was trying to make to the lawyer in Luke 10 in the most uncompromising and shocking of ways. So a scribe or a lawyer engages Jesus. And the scribe and lawyer is a religious man. And when I speak of a religious man and when I speak of someone like the scribe or the lawyer, I mean basically this. And this is the religious impulse of we all have it. If you're good, God favors you. That's basically the religious impulse that is present in every human heart. And if you feel like you've done all right, you never talk to God because there's no need to. If you feel like you have not done all right, you never talk to God because you believe that He would never listen to someone like you. So the lawyer engages Jesus in quite a malicious line of questioning because the scribes and the religious men of the day were offended. They were offended that this man Jesus ate with tax collectors and he ate with sinners. He ate with the unclean, with the outcasts, with the criminals and the prostitutes. He associated himself with them. He identified himself with them. And in this way, the gospel was getting too close, and it was shaking the foundations of the religious mindset. And so Jesus tells a parable. And in this parable, there are two main characters: a Jewish man who was left for dead after being waylaid by thieves, and a Samaritan. And right off, the hearer of the parable is meant to associate himself with the Jewish man because he could have never identified with the Samaritan. The Samaritan was a sworn enemy of the Jewish people. They were half-breeds. They perverted the religion of the temple. And they were not even good enough to exile. The Babylonians and the Assyrians didn't even try to exile them because they had so little respect for them. And so a Jewish man was attacked, and he was robbed, and he was left for dead. And then as he is dying, a priest and a Levite walk by. And you could imagine the man lying in the ditch, and he sees this priest and this Levite coming, and he's relieved. Because he sees them as help. He sees them as people who will help him. And you can imagine the horror as they went to the other side of the road and as they left him where he was. For these religious men, the Levite and the priest, love, the gospel, the idea of neighbor, got too close for comfort. And here comes a Samaritan. And the man, the Jewish man, is ready to be mocked, perhaps to be kicked. But what happens is completely unexpected. The Samaritan, his sworn enemy, comes to him. He binds his wounds. He anoints his cuts with oil and with wine. He loads the man on his own mule. He takes him to an inn, and he provides care and comfort, paying for everything. Jesus is trying to make a point here to the original hearers, and he's trying to make a point here to us, and that is this, that Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. Jesus Christ, the gospel, is the Good Samaritan, and we are the ones who are wounded. We are the ones who are beaten. The gospel is so radical, so unconditional, and so free that it is alien to the religious man, to the religious man that resides in all of us. The gospel takes a strange form. The gospel takes an offensive form, contrary to what our religious man wants, every time and all the time. For the lawyer, the gospel got too close. For the priest and the Levite, the gospel got too close. But for the man in the ditch, the gospel was everything. For the man in the ditch, the gospel gave life. For you, when you were down, when you are down, when you were outcast, when you are outcast, the gospel comes close. It comes near. It binds wounds. It anoints cuts with oil and wine. It loads you on its own mule, takes you, cares for you, comforts you, and it pays for everything. It gives you life. Now, I'm looking over this congregation here, and you have ministered well to this community. You have ministered very well to this community. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be your pastor. I've been your pastor for 4 years, so I'm really getting to know you. And I know why you did the things you did these past couple of weeks. You did these things for the last couple of weeks because of that man from Galilee who met you on your own road when you were wounded and beaten. And when everyone else stood clear, when your human condition got too close for comfort, the man from Galilee, Jesus Christ, knelt down. He picked you up. And he didn't just bind you up and take you to an inn and care for you. He gave his life for you. He died for you. Jesus Christ paints himself as the Good Samaritan. And he does so to show the strange and alien nature of the gospel, the foolishness of a God who would die not just for friends, but also for enemies. It is abhorrent to the religious man inside of all of us, but to those of us who are bloodied and beaten, to those of us who are in the ditch of life, these are the words of life. Amen.